Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How we doing?
What's going on, fellas? Arthur Smith has been requested for 17 more head coaching interviews since I got on the call last week. Everybody on earth wants to talk to him.
It's amazing. They must have been listening to you, Charles, on the show last week and said, you know what? We'll show that, Charles Robinson. We're going to interview Arthur Smith for every head coaching job on the planet. Seriously, like of all the rumors coming out where apparently Arthur Smith is going to be at least interviewed for all six of these head coaching vacancies, what do you make of his chances to actually land one of these jobs, considering he's apparently a really hot candidate around the league?
Right. Well, two things happened that two openings happened that I wasn't entirely sure about last week. I think the fact that Anthony Lynn got fired despite winning four into the close, and then with the Los Angeles Chargers, and then Doug Marrone getting axed in Jacksonville, they were giving weird signals right into last week. You know, that increasing the pool to six definitely helps Arthur Smith. But what I thought was interesting, Joe and I were kind of texting about this. I reached out to a couple of GMs who had gone through their own coaching searches, and I asked them to shape up the candidate field. And interestingly enough, both of them ranked Arthur Smith as they thought he's the number one candidate in the field over Brian Daboll, which, you know, surprised me a little bit. I thought Daboll was, if you had asked me last week, who do you think is going to be the guy who's going to be on every single list? I think Daboll is going to end up on every single list. I think right now he's on four. I think he's got four requests in. I asked one in particular who, you know, he did a lot of work on Matt LaFleur, some of the younger guys that are on these lists. And he said, look, scheme versatility is a really big deal. And, you know, he said, you want to have a guy who, if you have a power running game, that's going to help you a lot. If you got a guy who, you know, can turn a quarterback into a, 4,000 yard passer in his, scheme and still run the football, that's a huge thing. He actually invoked Kevin Stefanski. He said, go look at what Kevin Stefanski has done in Cleveland. If you look at their balance of games this year, that's a team that, really is sort of a power running team at their best. He said, but they do have the ability to employ tight ends and wide receivers in a way that it's not out of bounds for Baker Mayfield to be a consistent 4,000 yard quarterback once they really get everything running. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And as I told Joe yesterday, I'm like, look, I don't know if any coaching candidate gets six interviews I don't know if a coach takes all six, which is kind of interesting. And then I just don't know how you do six interviews with six openings and you don't land one, particularly if you got a couple of GMs, two out of 32. And I'd probably say three out of 32 if you ask John Robinson, who probably think he's the top in the field, top candidate in the field.
So do you have a feel for what a team that might really fancy him or what a team that might fit him best?
It's hard to say because, you have with a number of these teams, the quarterback situations are up in the air. The Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan is going to be a decision. Detroit Lions, obviously Matt Stafford is going to be a decision, although I'm already kind of hearing that he's, probably gone. Other than maybe the Houston Texans, Jacksonville, obviously you're going to draft Trevor Lawrence at this stage, the Chargers. Justin Herbert are nailed down. The Jets have a huge decision to make at quarterback. I don't know that I would just say, hey, here's this one position that absolutely is the right one for him. The one thing I would say about the Jets' interest is the Jets are going to interview like everybody under the sun. They're asking for everybody. It's kind of crazy. So I would say, I wouldn't say that the Jets, you're looking at the Jets saying, okay, well, they've honed in on him at this point because, frankly, the Jets in the aggregate, I really honestly believe they're going to end up interviewing 10, 12 people, for that head coaching position. And I think where he's on a short list, that I think is really interesting. Houston is a fairly short list. Matt Eberflus has been asked for there. Eric Bieniemy has been asked for there. And I think despite the fact that they don't have a draft pick, you know, a first round pick, and you know, this that team was a little jacked up by Bill O'Brien, I do believe that of the full collection there, other than maybe Justin Herbert and with LA Chargers, you're dealing with a quarterback that should be a 10-12 year quarterback there, and there is some flexibility inside that organization as far as, you know, who the general manager will be. If it ends up being Nick Caserio, who I think they're really they're shaping things up, you know, to target him as a general manager, I think you could do worse for sure than Nick Caserio, who I know is definitely familiar with the background of Arthur Smith.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, some of the rumors that have been flying around out there the past couple of weeks regarding the Jags job is maybe Urban Meyer taking the head coaching job there. What would you think, if that ultimately comes to pass, would be the fit for Urban Meyer in the NFL and in Jacksonville?
You know, I think Urban's an interesting guy just from the standpoint of I don't remember Urban's name not being inserted into any – it's insane to me the number of openings that Urban's name gets attached to. And I do think that Urban's camp absolutely, you know, promotes that. It's sort of like – I compare him a little bit to Josh McDaniels. For the last couple of years, every time there's an opening, you know, Josh McDaniels gets connected to it, and a lot of that has to do with his camp. My problem with Urban the last couple of years and really historically is that he loves the attention of the search. He's an all-time dabbler. He's a guy that, you know, he gets brought up and doesn't necessarily do anything to dissuade people from bringing him up in these coaching searches. And then, you know, down the stretch, the same thing happens repeatedly. And so, he's not fully at, he's not committed to it. I don't know if he wants to do it or he doesn't want to do it. Same thing's happening with Jacksonville. Same exact thing. The only difference is I do think that there is a very strong affinity in Jacksonville for him as a head coaching candidate. I think there is a belief in Jacksonville that their setup, the ability to have a head coach, general manager, and quarterback hire all at once, really leans into this idea that Urban Meyer can build an NFL program. I don't know if that's true or not. I can tell you this: when Urban Meyer was leaving Ohio State, Ohio State's offense was already falling behind a little bit. You know, I think that the rest of college football was starting to catch up to Urban Meyer when he exited, and I think Ryan Day significantly changed and moved that program a step forward into the future. At least when you talk to NFL people about Ohio State and the schemes that they were running, and why, you know, so many guys are coming out of Ohio State and have the ability to be successful now, that worries me a little bit. I don't like NFL guys going, hey, the team, you know, it seemed to progress and get better after Urban Meyer left Ohio State. But I think this is about programs, and Jacksonville is really, really looking at, you know, how do we build a whole new program around this quarterback we think we could have for 15 years and a general manager and a coach. We need to solidify someone who can come in and rebuild this entire design and set something meaningful in place. I honestly can't tell you whether or not Urban Meyer can do that on an NFL level or not, but I can say this, he can't be this, hey, I don't know how committed I am guy, because you'll get stomped. You will get absolutely wiped out in the NFL if you are not 100% committed in it every single day, all the time.
Well, if Urban gets 12 mil from the Jags, maybe he'll pony up for an athletic scholarship. That'd be amazing. So,
12 million a year for Urban.
Long story. That's amazing. Anyway. I mean, that's an insane number. All right, so let's keep on the coordinator topic. Go ahead.
No, I just it's yeah.
Okay, sorry.
This is great. We were doing
okay. Let me ask this, Charles. This is good radio. That was an amazing segment. Let's trade dead air for a little bit. It's like tennis. All right. Let me ask you this, Mike Vrabel. How important would you say it is that he hires a defensive coordinator next year? How much would you attribute the lack of one to this team's awful defense? And do you have anyone in mind?
I think that it's important. I do think that it's a, you know, one of the factors. I don't want to say it's the overriding factor again. This is a team that went out and it earmarked free agent money for a couple of guys that they expected to be factors in the pass rush, and neither were factors in the pass rush. And I think it hurt them, you know, considerably. You can't push your chips on two guys and not even have one of them, you know, really work out or, you know, in the case of particularly Jadeveon Clowney, end up being, you know, healthy in the long run. So I think that played a big part in it. The one thing I would say about the coordinator spot there is the last time I think I looked at a team and I thought, hey, it would be good if Mike could delegate to a guy that he trusted. And, you know, you could see scheme improvement or, you know, just somebody there to operate on an everyday basis that doesn't also have to, you know, manage the entire team at the same time. I look at the Rams and I remember, I think I talked about this a little bit before with you guys, where I started to hear things about, you know, Wade Phillips and, hey, the scheme had gone a little bit stale. You had Sean McVay, who's obviously considered an offensive coach. He's definitely an offensive coach, but he was dabbling in defense, and it was like, why is he doing this? And then when they hired Brandon Staley away from the Chicago Bears, who had been the, you know, linebackers coach, actually away from the Denver Broncos, but he had been the linebackers coach in Chicago under Vic Fangio as well. It changed really how not only their defense operated from a personnel standpoint, but from what I had heard, it was, you know, basically Sean McVay had this ability to trust the guy that he brought in and completely refocus himself on other areas of the team. And I'm sure Mike Vrabel could use a little bit of that. And, so I think I do think it's an important component that they should probably look at. I'm not a big fan of head coaches not named Bill Belichick who don't designate, all their coordinator positions. So as far as candidates, it's going to come down to scheme, you know, it's going to come down to the personnel and who's the right person to fit the personnel. So like, for example, I think if the 49ers lose Robert Saleh, they're going to go hard after Raheem Morris because there's a relationship there between Kyle Shanahan and Raheem Morris and the scheme fits perfectly. They don't have to change anything. And there's a trust factor there. So for Mike, I think that's going to be something that's extremely important. Pay attention to the trust factor and the scheme factor. You don't want to be changing out, you know, what they do or remaking any of the personnel aspects for somebody who's going to come in.
Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports is on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, last thing for you here, looking ahead to the matchup for the Titans on Wild Card Weekend against the Ravens. What do you think of that matchup, and how much do you think Lamar Jackson has to prove in this game in terms of how he's viewed in the playoffs?
Well, what's interesting about, you know, Baltimore at this point is if you look at the balance of the season and you want to know what affected them the most within their scheme and why they couldn't do certain things this year, I think you take Ronnie Stanley out of the mix, the you know, perennial, you know, all Pro Bowl, almost, you know, probably all pro left tackle, and then, you know, Marshall Yanda not being there, I think really impacted the continuity of the line and their ability to, I think, consistently run the ball and scheme the way that they were able to at a high level last year. Now, a game like this, what I'm looking at is this is that opportunity for Lamar Jackson to once again show people, hey, you know what, I can throw. Like, I'm a guy, I don't have to expose myself and run for 100 and 125, 150 yards for us to have a successful offense. You know, Tennessee's, because of, you know, what we've talked about, you know, the inability to get a pass rush completed and kind of where they are in terms of DVOA on defense, you know, this is the game that gives Lamar Jackson the opportunity to show people, oh, he can throw the football. And I think they're doing that a little bit better. I think Hollywood Brown is a guy that just – a whole litany of problems for 8, 10, 12 games this season, and now all of a sudden that connection is starting to kind of get back to where Baltimore thought it could be. Dez Bryant is a guy that factored for them, you know, late in the season. They're starting to find some of the pieces to help him win. But, again, it's a Lamar Jackson game. It really is. Like, if this guy can come out and he can throw for you know, 250 yards against Tennessee and doesn't have to expose himself running. He can throw for 300 yards, which, go look at his season, has not been his game this year at all. You know, that's going to be an immense plus for Baltimore at this point. But I don't like this being a game where you have to have Lamar, you know, again, running for 150 yards for your offense to function correctly. This should be a game where he could throw the football. If he can't, you know, I don't know that Baltimore can beat Tennessee with him having to do, you know, be the guy who's running the ball for 150 yards. He's going to get hurt eventually. Like, he's gotten banged up a few times this season, and it's not the kind of game where he should have to expose himself like that.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Stay safe.
Absolutely. You as well. When we come back, we will react to some of what Charles had to say there, looking ahead to potentially what a head coaching job could look like for Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.